Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 271 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're going to talk all about self-reliance. Now, it's a term that you can kind of get confused and use in lots of different ways, much like a lot of the terminology we use when we use the term self-sufficient and all those things. You know, they've all got nuances and are open to interpretation to a degree. But I'm going to talk to you today about what I consider when I think of the term self-reliance, what I think of it to mean, and how I try to apply it to myself, because I often speak about the idea of being completely self-sufficient and how it's not really in grasp of any of us if we want to do things like listen to podcasts, because we're not going to, you know, make our own technology with which to listen to or download things from the internet and all those kinds of things. So with living in a modern world, and there's no reason why we shouldn't, and there's no reason why we should shy away from any of these things, you know, with living in a modern world, if we want access to all of these modern technologies and advances in ways of living, then obviously we need to engage in commerce and things like that to in order to get hold of things like iPhones that I am listening to my podcasts on or whatever it might be. And that doesn't mean that we can't be self-reliant. Now, self-sufficiency really is talking about, you know, producing everything that you consume, producing everything you use yourself. And we can make great strides towards that. And I'm obviously a huge advocate for doing exactly that, you know, whether it's growing your own food or fixing and mending things or making your own furniture, whatever it might be. I think that the goal of moving towards self-sufficiency is a fantastic one and is laudable, and one that I'm obviously always talking about. It is the main focus of this show. But the idea of self-reliance is a little bit different, I think. As I said, it's open to interpretation, but I consider it to be basically never to find yourself at the whims of fate and be put into a position where you don't have a choice, where you have to rely on help from someone. Now, that's not to say that I don't ever ask for help from anyone. I absolutely do. And we should all help our neighbours and, you know, take help when we need it. But the idea that that can always be a choice, and we can do lots of things to kind of make sure that that's the case. Now, I've mentioned the idea of prepping a few times on the show. Don't worry, this isn't a deep dive into prepping today, but, you know, that idea goes hand in hand with the idea of self-reliance when perhaps there are no toilet rolls on the shelves, which is something that just recently we might have thought we would never see that day. But by being a little bit prepared, by having enough stock of things in our house, whether it's loo rolls or food or whatever it might be, we put ourselves in the position where it's a choice. We get to choose whether or not we need to join the panic buying those things in the supermarket before they're all gone, or whether we're actually okay for a few months or weeks or years or whatever it might be based on your position. And I just think the idea of self-reliance is applicable right across the board. You know, an example might be if I break down in my car. Well, do I have breakdown cover? If you have breakdown cover, that's a fantastic way of achieving self-reliance. You know, you've already solved that problem. You're going to be okay. Personally, I don't actually have breakdown cover, but what I do have is the ability to walk home, you know, and that's something I'm quite keen on. You know, what I mean by that is that takes that puts the choice in my hands. So if I happen to call a garage and the cost of getting them out at that very moment is going to be prohibitive or ridiculously expensive, I'm not held over a barrel because I am in a position that I can just walk home or whatever it might be. So, you know, self-reliance is really about assessing your options and realizing that you have them and taking responsibility really for your choices and your actions and your route forward. So, you know, generally we can look at self-sufficiency as being a huge part of becoming self-reliant. We can think about building resilience into all of our systems. And that's something I've spoken about before. Now, whether that is in, you know, just a matter of making sure that you have some food storage on hand, more than just what you're going to be eating that day or that week, but a little bit extra. That little bit of resilience means that you're prepared against some of the vagaries of nature. If, you know, you have a crop that fails, you're not reliant on it necessarily. Planting a little bit extra of a few things, storing things for long-term storage, whether that's dried beans or whatever it might be. Adding that resilience to your system, making it so that perhaps you're putting a little bit of money aside or you have a little bit of money extra every week or every month so that you do have that little bit left over to maybe pay for an emergency plumber or, you know, whatever it might be, car repairs I've mentioned already. And these are all just some of the ways that we can become self-reliant. It's not all about producing everything ourselves. It's also about making sure that we're being diligent and thoughtful about how we're allocating our resources. And, you know, we should definitely consider our finances among that. Have we got an extra way of heating our home? You know, if your electricity goes down tomorrow or the gas supply gets shut off tomorrow, what are you going to do? Are you going to be okay? Do you have lots of blankets? Do you have maybe a wood-burning stove or some other way of heating your home? If you, for whatever reason, lose your job, how are you going to be okay? You know, have you got enough to tide you over, whether that be savings in the bank or whether it just be, like I said before, you know, food storage and stuff on hand so that perhaps you don't need to desperately worry for that first few days, which buys you the time you need to come up with a plan. These are all parts of being self-reliant. And stretches far and wide. You know, I've mentioned food a few times and financial responsibilities a few times, but it stretches far and wide. Having that ability to learn new skills, and in my opinion, a huge part of it is a willingness to make mistakes. Having that willingness to make mistakes and try things, but ultimately accept that, you know, you're responsible. You're responsible for learning. You're responsible for having a go. You're responsible for getting it wrong and learning the mistakes, learning those lessons, and then trying again, you know, not giving up. Having that personal resilience, not just resilience in our systems, but resilience in ourselves to say, okay, well, that didn't go as planned, but that's okay because I've learned from it and I'm going to go again. I'm going to try differently. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to read more. I'm going to try a different approach, but I'm ultimately going to try again. I'm not going to give up. And by doing that, we are able to increase our expertise in all sorts of areas and learn from it. You know, so we all have the ability to learn a little bit of DIY, learn a little bit of woodworking, learn a little bit of repairing our houses. And by doing this, we're putting ourselves in the position, and this is what it's all about. This is the crux of it, as far as I'm concerned. We're putting ourselves in the position where we get to choose. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you always have to. But if you're in a position where you can, then you're in a position to choose. You're giving yourself the choice, the options, and then you have a far stronger hand to play. By being in a position where you can repair the lock on your front door, you can fit a new one yourself, you are then in a position to look at the options and on one hand have a look at your time pressures and how long it's going to take you to do it, and on the other hand look at a cost of getting a blacksmith or a carpenter to come and do it for you. And then you get to choose. You're not held over that barrel that I mentioned earlier of, you know, whenever anything goes wrong, we're instantly reaching into our wallets to save the day, because not only can that be really cost ineffective, but by not giving yourself the choice, you know, you're opening yourselves up to perhaps not making wise decisions and, you know, not really knowing the value of a piece of work and, you know, potentially being ripped off by some unscrupulous people. And, you know, I'm not just talking about trade, I'm talking right across the board. You know, if we are able to decide between doing it ourselves and having someone else do it, it just puts you on really firm footing for making wise decisions, because you're never going to, you know, spend more money than the job is worth doing it yourself. You're always going to, you know, even if it takes you a long time, you know, it's going to be something you get better at and a skill you learn. And these are all things that we can stick in our back pocket, our metaphorical back pocket, and use in the future. It comes down to that age-old debate between skills and gear, which quite often preppers will talk about, bushcraft community will talk about. And you know, you can buy lots and lots of gear, but you can also learn lots and lots of skills. And the difference is the skills are always with you. You carry them around with you and they are free to replace. Whereas gear is something that you buy, it has a financial cost, and then it takes up space and you might not have it when you need it. So the idea of just learning lots of skills and becoming proficient in lots of different skills, or at least being willing to have a go, is the crux of self-reliance. Hi guys, I'm just very quickly interrupting the show to say please consider supporting it. If you'd like to consider supporting this one-man operation, there's lots of ways you can do it. One of the easiest of which is just to talk about it, to share it online on your social media pages or with friends. By growing this audience is one of the best ways that we can actually ensure that the show is sustainable. If you'd like to support it more directly, then please consider becoming a patron. You can do so by going to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. By becoming a patron, you help me to achieve things that I'd love to be able to do in the future, such as buying better equipment to increase the quality, allowing me to pay myself some time to spend on the podcast, again increasing the quality of it, and also paying for things like transcription and show notes. If you would like to do that, please do consider going to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. Thank you. Everything you do to support this show is really appreciated. Talking about learning lots of different skills, there's a saying that no doubt every single one of you will have heard, and it's used usually quite disparagingly, and that is a jack of all trades, master of none. And you know, that would usually be used derogatorily to describe someone who does a little bit of everything but hasn't really mastered anything. But I prefer the longer version, which is often not spoken, and that is jack of all trades, master of none is usually better than a master of one. And you know, I think I certainly consider myself a bit of a jack of all trades. Now, even having said that, I have definitely got my blind spots, and that's my responsibility to kind of look at them. And mechanical stuff is definitely one of them. You know, when my car goes wrong, I'm not very good at fixing it, but that's something that I'm hoping to improve over the next year or two. I've actually got a podcast guest booked to come on and talk about some of the things that we can do on car maintenance ourselves, but it's definitely something I have a blind spot for. I have literally no knowledge in that area. But just because you have no knowledge in that area, it doesn't mean that that always has to be closed off to you. Just as I look back over my last 3 years, I had virtually no knowledge about, you know, growing crops, or certainly no knowledge of milking goats or making cheese or tapping trees. But these are all things that I can now do quite comfortably and confidently. And it's only taken me 3 years to amass these skills. Now, I will always say, you know, I'm not an expert on almost anything, and I certainly don't profess to be on these topics. They're just ones I'm passionate about, and that I'm just trying to illustrate that in such a short amount of time, I've picked up skills that now allow me to produce
certainly the majority of the food that my family eat. You know, I'd never, just a few years ago, I'd never cured a ham. I'd never butchered a pig. I'd never butchered anything beyond a fish. And, you know, these are all skills that I've picked up. And I say that just to really emphasize the fact that the skills that I talk about on here on a regular basis, they're ones that are accessible to all of us. You know, we can all learn these things and we can all become a jack of all trades. And whether we're a master of none or not will be up to interpretation. But, you know, getting past the idea of just learning all these skills, I think we can also look at it from a completely different frame as well. And just think of dependency as being a habit. You know, I certainly am dependent on our local mechanic, on our local garage. And that can become a bit of a habit, you know, becoming dependent on the supermarkets for your vegetables. That can certainly become a habit. And using dependency or thinking of dependency as a habit can sometimes give us the power to change it, to change that way of looking at the world and thinking, well, who and what am I dependent on? And I suppose dependency is really the opposite of self-reliance. So are you dependent on your electricity in your house? Well, most of us actually probably are, but maybe we should try going without it for 24 hours just to see where we need to perhaps think about increasing our resilience. What backup plans do we need to put in place? And that's certainly something I'm going to be looking at doing a bit more. You know, I'm going to be looking at the idea of collecting rainwater and also filtering water from the river, just so that it's a skill I've got. And that's not to say that I'm ever likely to need it, but how much more self-reliant would I be if I have that skill ready-made, ready-practiced, so that in the future, should it ever be called for, I'm already there. And, you know, I love all those things. And the idea of becoming self-reliant, as much as anything else, is about getting by in a pinch. You know, when things do go wrong, when your car does break down, when it snows and you're not at home and you struggle to get home because of the roads, what are you going to do? And by making some really simple steps now, you can increase your self-reliance no end just by doing things like, for instance, in my car, I carry a little foldable shovel. And I have actually used that in the snow to get me out of a pinch that I was in. So by preparing in that way and having little things on hand that make your life easier, then you can really add to your own self-reliance. And that can be the difference between you sorting out whatever the issue is yourself and being able to ultimately complete the goal that you've set yourself, or you being reliant on an outside body to come and save you. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that when it happens. But personally, I like the idea that I can always save myself. And I like the idea that I'm the one people call to save them. And, you know, that is a personal thing. We're not all the same, but it's definitely something that I put a huge value on. And I think being self-reliant as well is as much about choosing your own goals, realizing that you have a choice, choosing your own goals, and then you personally being dependable on yourself, you know, you personally being accountable for achieving those goals and or just moving towards those goals. And that doesn't mean that you have to be hard on yourself. And sometimes we set a goal that's unrealistic or it's so difficult that there are going to be failures along the way and they can really set us back and perhaps make us, you know, think that the whole goal wasn't worth doing or isn't achievable. But I think just the process of trying is a goal in itself. And I would encourage people, because we're not all the same. And, you know, as you guys will know, I'm very, very comfortable failing. But some people aren't as comfortable failing, and failures tend to really set them back or put them off the entire project in its entirety. So what I would suggest, if you are one such person, is that you frame your goal slightly differently. So rather than your goal being, I'm going to learn to be a mechanic, and fix my own vehicles from now on. Perhaps your goal could be, I'm going to try and learn this little part. And then when you try, you've already succeeded because that was your goal. Doesn't matter if the actual attempt is a success or a failure, because your goal was the attempt. Your goal was to try it. And I think that can be a really helpful, useful little mental idea that perhaps sometimes the goal should just be an attempt. And we don't need to try and climb the whole mountain at once either, you know. I remember once I was climbing Snowdon with my wife, and we were about two thirds of the way up, and she had decided, and we weren't taking a particularly easy route. And my wife kind of decided she didn't think she could get there, and had a little bit of a wobble. And I said to her, well, the reason you're wobbling, love, is because you can see the summit and you're trying to climb the whole mountain at once. And all you really need to do is pick a point 10 meters away and get there. And then once you've done that, do it again. And that really has been such a valuable lesson. And we quite often mention that in our house, you know, we'll quite often just say, stop trying to climb the whole mountain at once. And it does make a big difference. So, you know, if you are completely new to mechanical stuff, if you've never changed a tire, never taken off a wheel and put a spare wheel on, then perhaps having a go at that is your first step. For me, I think it's going to be things like oil changes, which I promise you, find really, really intimidating. It's not something I've ever done. And, you know, hopefully that's where I'm going to be next year, is I'll be able to start doing things like that on my own. But we all have these things, and perhaps you are a great mechanic, but you live in a thatched house and you don't know how to repair the thatch. And, you know, that's certainly as big a project insofar as learning a skill as becoming a mechanic, I would suggest. You know, they're both trades in their own right. So we all have these little things that we can pick and think, well, I'm going to learn a little bit about that. And I suppose one of the things I think is that a little bit of knowledge can be really, really useful. You don't need to get all the way there. You know, sometimes becoming a master of something, it's that last 10% of mastery is as time consuming and as difficult as the first 90%. And I think, you know, we can spend just a little bit of the effort and energy that it would take to become a competent mechanic that charged for our time. We could take just a small portion of that time and become competent in the things that are most likely to be able to be done ourselves and that we are willing and comfortable to do ourselves, and just focus on those. And I think that can make a huge, huge difference. So I know I've banged on quite a little bit about mechanics and that side of things, but this is applicable right across the board, I think. And the idea is just to increase your self-reliance. And by that, what I mean is relying on yourself, whether that is to provide for yourself and your family, whether it's to fix things, whether it's just to give you the choice between you doing it yourself or getting someone in. I think these are all really valuable things that we should be focusing on as much as we focus on anything else. So there you go. That's my thoughts on self-reliance. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I will speak to you all on Monday. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.